Good evening. If y'all would, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah 55. And when you get there, if you would, please stand in reverence to the Holy Word of God. Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. You may be seated. Some months back, I was thumbing through my Bible when something caught my eye. At the top of the page where these verses are located is a short subtitle that gives a brief description of the contents of that page. It is titled, The Lord Satisfies. I stared at that title for a bit and thought to myself, what a great affirmation and what a complete understatement. The Lord does satisfy in many ways to many people, but unfortunately not all people are satisfied all the time, nor are some satisfied ever. And why do you suppose that is? Well, in Psalms 106:13, it reads, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. First off, let's find out just what satisfy means. Keeping in context, the word used in Isaiah 55:2 is satisfieth, an extension of the root or base word satisfy. Strong's Concordance number 7654 reads, to have enough, be full, satiable, satisfy sufficiently. Webster's Dictionary, the 1828 edition, had multiple definitions, but the one that seemed to parallel this application to me is number 5, and it reads, to free from doubt, suspense, or uncertainty, to cause the mind to rest in confidence, by ascertaining the truth, as to satisfy oneself by inquiry. Then I looked for scripture about satisfying or being satisfied, and I found a considerable number, and here are just a few. Psalms 107:9, for he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Psalm 17:5, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Psalms 90:14 reads, O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And then Psalms 145:16 reads, thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. And finally, Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. I'm sure you noticed that most of these verses came from the book of Psalms. David, who is a picture of Christ, loved the Lord, and that is obvious through reading his testimonies in this book. David loved the Lord because the Lord loved him. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. The Lord met David's needs, his desires, his wants. The Lord blessed David mightily, or for the sake of this message, the Lord satisfied David. The question that has to be asked tonight is not if the Lord satisfies, but if we are satisfied with the Lord, with what he has done, for what he is doing now, and for what he said he will do. No man has ever been satisfied with all things all the time. Ecclesiastes 5:10-11 reads, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The more a man has, the more a man wants. Men are not satisfied with the blessing, nor the warnings of God. Luke 12:15 reads, And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. While researching for this message, I read an article in the Time magazine about the habits or manner Americans make purchases. Right off the bat, they said we live in a culture that continually tells us that our worth as a people is based on our bank account. That is in direct contradiction to the verse we just read. And that statement stems from a deeply rooted plant called envy. Envy has caused more problems, been the root of most problems, and continues to plague people of every walk of life since time began. Envy is an emotion that tends to destroy the person who has it. It may not be easily recognized, and it is usually firmly rooted. Basically, without going into a psychological explanation, envy is the desire to possess what others have, because we think if it makes them happy, it will make us happy. 1 Timothy 6:10, For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I used to work for a roofing company, and once we were doing a job in Beauchene and Mandeville. If you're not familiar with them, or you do know, then you know that Beauchene is a high-dollar real estate, a gated community, golf course, etc. You get the picture. Anyway, my boss told me that most of the people who live there are in deep debt all the time. They're trying to impress the few who do have money that they have money. It's a vicious cycle of rubbing elbows and appearing to be what they aren't. It's keeping up with the Jones syndrome. Another reason for buying the way Americans do is the result of a very dark time in American history, the Great Depression, which I learned was not only in America, but it affected millions of people globally too. It was a period of years in which those who had money lost it all in the stock market crash, and the financial rose dominoed down the social ladder, and those who had very little found themselves without anything. My mom and dad were children during those times, but both vividly remember how little they had and their neighbors had. From clothing to food, everything was in short supply. Both said it was a terrible time to endure. People today may not remember those times, but their parents and grandparents learned how to live with a lot less during those years. My parents bought and stocked up on everything as we were growing, but two, they did not allow waste. During those tough years, they said it was strange how they had so little, yet in hindsight, they didn't go without. Psalm 68:19 reads, Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Psalm 136:26 reads, O give thanks unto the Lord, God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. And speaking of enduring, I have understood that there are basic physical needs every human has to live, or has to have to live. One is food and water, second is shelter, and then clothing, and then sleep and rest. Without any of these or a combination thereof, our frail bodies would cease to exist. Yet, in Matthew 7:25-32, it reads, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But being satisfied has less to do with the physical as much as it does with the mental, doesn't it? Americans are blessed, truly blessed, in that anything we want is within our reach. There are few, if any, other nations that have that opportunity. We have choices and the privilege to make those choices. We choose what we want, and that determines our satisfaction. That is when the mental overrides the physical. Psalms 37:4-5 reads, Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And before I go further, this passage I just read does not mean God will give you abundance of wealth because you asked him for it. This passage is simply stating if you seek him and his holiness, he will fulfill that desire. If I were to ask you if you were satisfied with your level or knowledge or relationship with the Lord, how would you respond? And don't answer out loud, but to yourself. If you said you are satisfied with your level of knowledge or relationship with the Lord, I would question your dedication to the Lord. And I say that because as far as I know and have read in the Bible, none of the persons mentioned in the Bible were satisfied with their level of knowing him. They sought him more every day. The Apostle Paul is a key witness, and his time on earth after he was saved is evidence. Philippians 3:13 reads, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Now, if you said you are not satisfied with your level of knowing the Lord, then I would be inclined to agree with you. He is God. How can man possibly know all there is to know about him? Psalm 27:4 reads, "One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And you may even respond by asking, how can I compare us to Paul? He was an extraordinary man who was blessed mightily, and that is the key. Paul was as much flesh as you and I. Paul dealt with the same problems, same ailments, same decision as we face every day. Paul was the man God chose from the foundation of the world to deliver his message, and God did bless him mightily. I believe God had a special purpose for Paul, and he fulfilled it. 1 Corinthians 15:10 reads, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Was Paul satisfied? I think Paul was in awe of God every day of his life, both as a Pharisee and as a Christian. I think based on his own accounts, he was so focused on doing the Lord's work that he was satisfied with the charge of being apostle to the Gentiles. But he recognized he did not know the Lord the way he wanted to know him. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus introduced himself to him. And while we are considering an individual's level of satisfaction, let me say this. If any of you are not satisfied with your role in the church, you have only to read 1 Corinthians 12, the chapter. Obviously, Paul had to deal with discontentment in his day. I don't really think anyone here is unsatisfied, but I recall some years back, a woman who used to attend RBC made it very clear to me one day that she was not satisfied because she didn't have anything to do except sit on the bench and sing and pray. Rather than tell you to read, let me just go ahead and read it. So if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to do some reading here. First Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12, and y'all can get there as I start reading. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. In truth, Jesus is the head of the body of the church, the saved. He is where our focus is supposed to be, not on self or self's role in the church. Bottom line, God has given us what He wants us to have, whether it is evident now or later. Is a person able to be satisfied? I believe one can be satisfied. But the question asked here tonight was this: are we satisfied in or with the Lord? Like salvation, the answer is a personal response. We may make it public in our testimony, or we may guard it within our heart. But either way, it is a question to be answered first and foremost between the individual and the Lord. As with all the devotions, Sunday school lessons, and for these last few years, preaching, I have sought the Lord God and asked Him to point me in the right direction, lead and guide me through His Word in these writings. If you saw these notes, you would wonder why they are different colors of ink, and that's because I rewrote them several times. I was not satisfied with what was written, or God was not satisfied how I wrote it. But the end result is a joint venture of Him and me bringing you this message. My desire is to bring Him honor and glory. So if that is accomplished, it was all Him. And if not, it's my failure to present it right, because God is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. I want to share with you what Matthew Henry says about Isaiah 55. It is good to hear what knowledgeable men say on the Word of God. He studied a lot more than I ever will. Matthew Henry commentary starts off and it reads, all are welcome to the blessings of salvation, to whom those blessings are welcome. In Christ there is enough for all and enough for each. Those satisfied with the world that see no need of Christ do not thirst. They are in no uneasiness about their souls. But where God gives grace, He gives a thirst after it. And where He has given a thirst after it, He will give it. Come to Christ, for He is the fountain opened. He is the rock smitten. Come to holy ordinances, to the streams that make glad the city of our God. Come to the healing waters. Come to the living waters. Come and buy and make it your own by application of the grace of the gospel to yourselves. Come and eat. Make it still more your own and enjoy it. The world comes short of our expectations. We promise ourselves at least water in it, and we are disappointed. But Christ outdoes our expectations. We come to Him, and we find wine and milk. The gifts offered to us are such as no price can be set upon. The things offered are already paid for Christ purchased them at the full price of His own blood. Our wants are beyond number, and we have nothing to supply them. If Christ and heaven are ours, we see ourselves forever indebted to free grace. Hearken diligently, let the proud heart stoop, not only come, but accept God's offers. All the wealth and the pleasure in the world will not yield solid comfort and content to the soul. They do not satisfy even the appetites of the body, for all is vanity and vexation. Let the disappointments we meet with in the world help to drive us to Christ and to seek for satisfaction in Him only. Then and not before we shall find rest for our souls here, and your soul shall live. On what easy terms is happiness offered us? By the sure mercies of David, we are to understand the Messiah. All His mercies are covenant mercies. They are purchased by Him. They are promised in Him and out of His hand. They are dispensed to us. We know not how to find the way to the waters, but Christ is given to be a leader, a commander, to show us what to do and enable us to do it. Our business is to obey Him and follow Him, and there is no coming to the Father but by Him. He is the Holy One of Israel, true to His promises, and He has promised to glorify Christ by giving Him the heathen for His inheritance. I want to thank Brother Jimmy and Brother Jeremy for allowing me to participate in the month of ministries. But I also want to say a little something that's really nothing new, but it's something that needs to be said every so often. I've been attending Richardson Baptist Mission and Richardson Baptist Church since January 2007, basically ever since the door was open. That is when I met Brother Jimmy Ullman, Jr. And from that point until now, Brother Jimmy has never been satisfied with RBC. Now, before you get upset, let me clarify that. Brother Jimmy has always pushed forward and not backwards. He has dug and searched for the truth and always promoting and honoring Jesus Christ. He has nurtured every person who is a member or in the family of a member to help them to come to know Christ, as we need to know Him. No, he is not satisfied because he wants more. He wants more knowledge, more fellowship, more Jesus. And he strives to help each of us achieve the same. So, brother, as much as you constantly tell us how happy you are to serve Richardson Baptist Church, I'm confident I can speak for all of us to say that we are very satisfied to have you as our pastor, right, our friend, and our brother in Christ. We love you, brother. And now, if you would, turn with me to 1 Chronicles 29. And I'm not real sure if this is just a declaration by David or if it's a prayer, but I took it to be a prayer. And that's the way I'm going to use it. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Amen. Starting.